Hello, I'm Father Ray Petrucci. Welcome to Thoughts for the Week. We are going to have a fascinating guest and show. I hope that you are able to join us for the entirety of the program. Before we get to meet our guest, I'd like to ask you, our listeners, to please consider contacting us. We'd love to hear from you. If there's a topic, an area that's been just in your mind that you'd like to know a little bit more about, we'd love to be able to pursue that for you. Let us know. And I'm going to give you two opportunities, either standard mail or email. If you want to write us a letter, please do so at the following address: Thoughts for the Week, Post Office Box 7466. That's Post Office Box 7466, Greenwich, Connecticut. Now, the zip code in Greenwich is 06836. Again, 06836. If you want to email us on the computer, please do so at clemons10@aol.com. Clemons, C-L-E-M-O-N-S, the number 10, at AOL.com. While you're on the computer, I'd like to invite you to go to Spirituality for Today, our internet magazine. Not only will there be features there, but also our show. If your computer has speakers, you can listen to Thoughts for the Week, our radio program. And the address is spirituality.org. That's the website, spirituality.org. And that's important because spirituality.anything else will bring you somewhere else. So spirituality.org. Now, I'd like to first announce that my co-host, Dorothy Rierish, could not be with us for this program. But I am delighted to go on my own with our wonderful guest that we have today. And we went to Fairfield University in Fairfield, Connecticut to find this wonderful guest. And we welcome to Thoughts for the Week, Melissa Kwan. Melissa, welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Happy to have you here. You are the director of the Center for Faith and Public Life. Perhaps you could give us a little of your own background, how you, let's say, qualified to become the great director.
I guess it's a bit of a long pathway. I actually trace it back to, I graduated from John Carroll University in Cleveland, Ohio. Mm-hmm. I'm originally from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. But after graduating, I did a year of service with the Jesuit Volunteer Corps, which is how I came to this area of Connecticut in the first place. I worked in the community of Bridgeport with an organization called the Evergreen Network that provided services to families affected by AIDS. After my volunteer year ended, I stayed and worked with them for a few years, and one of my primary responsibilities was to do a program for children. And we had students from Fairfield University and Sacred Heart University who volunteered with us, which is, you know, one of the ways that I initially connected with Fairfield University. After a couple of years, I applied for a position in campus ministry at Fairfield, was hired, I guess that was around 2002, took the opportunity to get my master's in education, kind of got turned on to service learning, did my thesis, was focused on community engagement and civic engagement in higher ed, and when the center opened in 2006, I was well positioned to take an opportunity as assistant director. So that's sort of how I got started.
That's great. That's great. Now the great Jesuit leader who you are his successor, Father Richard Scavage, is now teaching down in Washington, D.C., I believe.
Mm-hmm. At Georgetown. Mm-hmm.
Very good. And, well, let's take a look at your vision. Now you're the director of the center.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you see within your own self of how you'd like the center to start moving?
Sure. I'm really proud of the work that we're already doing, particularly related to, student formation and education. And I'd just really like to see us continue in those ways, improve our quality, and bring some more sophistication to our work. And I'll give you an example. With service learning, we engage students in the community through coursework. So a student might be taking a grant writing course. They're organized into teams, and they're paired with a local nonprofit organization to write a grant with that organization. And, after about 10 years now of service learning, we have some really good relationships with local community organizations. And now we might have a faculty member in the English department working with an organization and a faculty member in the School of Nursing working with the same organization. And I think we have an opportunity to bring those faculty together to build even, you know, interdisciplinary, sophisticated partnerships with those community partners. So that we can really begin to look at the impact that we're having in the community. You know, we give a lot of attention to student learning, which we should. That's our primary mission. Mm-hmm. But I think that we also have an opportunity now to really look in a sophisticated way at the impact that we're having in the community or that we could be having if we were working in a more concerted way.
Mm-hmm. Now, for the sake of our listeners, you think of the idea of the Center for Faith and Public Life, and then you're speaking a great deal about the coursework students are taking.
Mm-hmm.
Are these separate, totally separate entities, or are the courses somehow tied into the center too, or student involvement with it?
Well, the courses are not tied into the center. The courses are being offered in the different schools and departments throughout Fairfield University. But what the center provides is the support structure and professional development for the type of pedagogy that we're talking about. So service learning is a particular way of teaching and learning that looks different from a traditional lecture classroom. So we do work with faculty around this teaching. Way of teaching, looking at the theory and practice of service learning. We help to connect them with community organizations. So we the center often is the locus for the partnership with the different community organizations where students might be engaging through their service learning class. So we help to kind of broker those relationships. We help faculty think about how to evaluate the impact of service learning on student learning as well as on the community. So that's the role that we play. It's similar for our other program, which is the Humanitarian Action Program. Mm-hmm. The humanitarian minor sits within the College of Arts and Sciences.
Now, but in other words, this is something where a person could major in something you're offering or some sort of certification that you're offering? How is it?
Well, students can't major in service learning, but it might be a required part of their major, that they're doing. Mm-hmm. They can minor in humanitarian action. Mm-hmm. So that is a little bit different. And again, we provide the professional development around that and also help to provide some of the field experiences that students would engage in as part of the humanitarian action minor.
Could you give us a couple of examples of that experience?
Sure. We have students interning with Save the Children, with Catholic Relief Services.
Mm-hmm.
We have been partnering with an organization that runs different humanitarian crisis simulations in different locations throughout the country. Each one is themed a little bit differently. So it might be, a post-war scene, and students are given a role. For example, it might be a simulation of a refugee camp, and students would have a role within that so that they kind of really get to experience the complexity of that. So those are the types of field experiences that we help to provide.
Mm-hmm. From the outside, certain professionals come in to speak to students or your involvement there. Are there any particular organizations that you really have a close relationship with?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. In fact, we have coming up next Monday, we are collaborating with the Dolan School of Business.
Mm-hmm.
They have been offering an event as part of their week of service called Careers for the Common Good.
Mm-hmm.
And so, several local nonprofit leaders will come to campus. One of them happens to be an alumni, and one of them happens to be on the board of the Center for Faith and Public Life, Charlie McCormick,
mm-hmm.
also the former CEO of Save the Children.
So
we have connections with organizations like Save the Children, AmeriCares, Jesuit Refugee Services, always trying to give students an opportunity to meet and talk with those professionals so that they can have a better understanding of the profession that they may be interested in.
Hmm. When your former director was here, he used to like to talk or bring up the topic of human trafficking a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something where, of course, his involvement with the United Nations and other areas may have brought him into more of a contact there. But does the center have anything to do with human trafficking at all? Or?
We have not done a lot of work in the area of human trafficking. Students individually who are involved with our humanitarian action program who might be interested or passionate about that issue have done, you know, awareness-raising events about human trafficking. We have worked with the International Institute of Connecticut in the past. We do still have students interning. I think some of them might be working in their division that works with victims of trafficking. So those would be our areas of involvement right now. Mm-hmm. There are some faculty at Fairfield who are more involved from a research perspective on the issue of human trafficking.
Mm-hmm. You've mentioned faculty quite often. Mm-hmm. Are there many faculty members involved with this? Or I presume it's only, or are they involved particularly in those areas that study, well, the concern of Center for Faith and Public Life?
Yeah, we probably work with 40 or 50 different faculty through the Center for Faith and Public Life between Service Learning and Juhan. So there is quite a bit of involvement, with the faculty. And, you know, our work really relies on that partnership and collaboration.
Would you explain what that Juhan is again?
Sure. So it stands for Jesuit University's Humanitarian Action Network, and it was actually founded by Fairfield University, Fordham University, and Georgetown University, really trying to think about how can we leverage our Jesuit network of schools, you know, not only the 28 in the United States, but, you know, the hundreds internationally when it comes to responding to humanitarian action, humanitarian crises. And so that's how it was founded. And Juhan, as we call it, looks a little bit different on each of the campuses that are participating in this network. At Fairfield, you know, we have a humanitarian action minor, as well as a leadership program for students. At Fordham, they also have a humanitarian action minor for their undergraduates and a very well-developed graduate program. We also worked with the University of Central Americana in Nicaragua, and their Juhan is through their service learning program. So we've been kind of slowly building this network of schools that is connected through our work in humanitarian action response.
I find that fascinating, too, you know, especially in that time of the year where March Madness occurs.
Yeah.
Obviously, Gonzaga and Xavier and Loyola are not only basketball teams, but universities throughout this country. You said you're beginning to develop that type of perhaps exchange?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm sure some may work with Native American populations, which you may not find as much here,
right.
Or they're doing very well in the casino. Do students actually are able to, as of yet, travel to, let's say, the centers in other university areas?
Yes. So, I mentioned the Universidad Central Americana in Managua, Nicaragua. So Fairfield University, and we're not the only U.S. Jesuit university that has a relationship with them, but we do. We have a partnership with UCA. And, we have an exchange opportunity. We have a study abroad program there where our students can go study at UCA and vice versa, the opportunity to bring UCA students here to our campus in Fairfield as an exchange opportunity.
Mm.
So we do try to leverage our international network.
When we talk about important topics such as peace, human rights, things have been, battled around by humanity since the beginning of humanity. But what do you, I'm finding, what have you, might see in the 21st century need for promotion of peace within nations and in regard to not only within nations, but nation to nation? Is there anything in particular that really needs a special attention in this century, or what you'll see might be developing in this century in regard to keeping peace, promoting human rights among nations or within nations?
Mm-hmm.
So you deal with all these massive problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether it's you know, where natural resources fit in, where governments fit in, where does it all fit in? You know, so would you solve that problem, please?
Sure. It's hard to extract a single issue with that, and that's probably a little bit out of my league, but you know, the issue that I think feel most connected to is just the issue of migration and mm-hmm. probably just needing to really think about, you know, borders and what that means, particularly in a globalized world, you know, when you know, money and technology and you know, professionals need to move across borders, you know, how do we deal with that in our current context, you know, particularly related to migration for all different reasons.
You know, you take a look at the political concern about hacking and cyber warfare and all the rest of it. You have, it seems like it's a world where borders, whether they are physical borders or borders out in the cyber world, you end up with a desire to have a lot of freedom, but now you end up with a concern over really mm-hmm. Sort of a cyber nationalism kind of thing, mm-hmm. you know, is that we don't want other nations crossing over mm-hmm. to do nefarious things mm-hmm. or versus, yeah, we do want a lot of that connection mm-hmm. because this is how mm-hmm. society and the world could become more just and more peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find any of the students involved asking questions such as that or bringing up concerns over how do you maintain, let's say, peace and rights within your own nation if you're threatened by outside nations,
mm-hmm.
you know, or is this an issue they haven't really explored too much yet?
No, they're definitely interested in that conversation and exploring that issue, and I'll suggest that you have for your next guest a faculty member at Fairfield, Janie Leatherman, who heads up our humanitarian minor. But mm. she taught a course, I think it was last year, Border Politics, where she looked at this issue not only from the U.S. context, but really globally. And her area is really peace and human rights. And so she really kind of immersed the students in the complexities of borders.
Mm. You know, thank you for that.
Yeah, borders, violence, everything, and it was a very challenging course for her to teach, but I think she really saw the students. They gained a lot. They really grappled with it, and it came through in their final reflections.
Hmm. Well, there's an old saying: if you want peace, work for justice.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I'm just wondering if you could reflect on that a little bit with us. How do you see that within, let's say, the experience of your center?
I think maybe that's where, you know, this idea of the connection between theory and practice comes in, where, you know, we really want students to have hands-on experiences grappling with the issues that we want them to learn about. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's the issue of immigration, the border politics course that I mentioned was a service learning course. Mm-hmm. Students were working with an organization in Stanford called Building One Community, and they were working with undocumented immigrants, really having an opportunity to hear their stories and to be directly involved in the issue in some way while they were also learning about it from a theoretical perspective. And so I think it's that, you know, that kind of both and. You want to promote peace, you want to promote justice, and you have to have that hands-on involvement.
Mm. Perhaps, if I might get into your own mind in regard to the problem with undocumented immigrants. Now, I don't know if there are many undocumented coming from Asia or Europe or Africa or other countries. All you ever hear in the news has to do with Mexico or even that's not as accurate as Ecuador, perhaps, or other countries within Latin America or South America. My one concern, too, in regard to that, I don't know if the center has done anything with this, because in my own thinking, there are a couple different problems. There's the problem of these countries, in effect, almost, you know, you're almost saying, well, why aren't these countries saying, you know, Dear United States, we're really sorry that the conditions are in our country are such that we can't keep our own people in. And so is that something where we have to work with other countries to help them develop their own economies, safety, communities to say, you know, there's no worry. Our people don't want to rush out of our country in years. Versus, let's say, the United States, especially in the West Coast, we're saying, well, listen, we need workers. We do need workers. So we're kind of inviting them in. Mm-hmm. And if they say, gee, we like it here, they want to stay, well, you know, is it all that fair to say, no, sorry, you know, to back on the train or boat and go home?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering, do you have any thoughts on all of that? Again, would you solve that
another big question.
Or maybe put it in the sense of saying undocumented, what's a solution or what you think might be, would like to see happen?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know what? You're right. It's very complex. And I think it requires movement on a number of different fronts. I'm most connected to and I've been most involved with, kind of the care for those who are immigrating in a moment of crisis or out of crisis. You know, they're fleeing violence or they're fleeing poverty or hunger. And so how do you care for those people in their moment of need, particularly when you try to put yourselves in their shoes as an individual or as a parent? But certainly we do have to think about it on the level of development, trade. When we took students, when I worked in campus ministry, we had a trip where we went to Tijuana, Mexico, and there were a number of different aspects to that trip. We stayed at a migrant shelter, and so you had the opportunity to meet people who were migrating, maybe had been recently deported, hearing their stories of why. But then we also, visited several factories that were U.S.-owned factories, mm-hmm. To get an understanding of what was the role there. They were creating jobs, but were they creating, you know, living wages that mm-hmm. really enabled mm-hmm. people to live?
Sure, the fact they went over there so they could get cheap labor.
Yeah, right.
Are you really helping the people?
Right. Right. And you know, hiring people in this country, yeah, there is a reality. We need migrant workers. I think we also need to pay them a living
mm-hmm.
wage.
Yeah.
I think it gets back to the mm-hmm. if you want peace, you know, you need to work for justice as well.
mm-hmm. And that, you know, brings up the own issue, too, with our own native-born workers, of course, in the Rust Belt states who are looking for, you know, a different setup where bringing back manufacturing, bringing back things into this country. So it's quite complex, to say the very, very least. You know, I'm just wanted to ask about what kind of topics have you found might be in the mind of those students who come over, if that's the correct thing to term, go over to the shelter and start expressing their interest. Now, apparently they're taking courses that kind of reflect that, but I'm just wondering what their main concerns are. I hate to use these trendy terms, but mm-hmm. passion, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What's saying, you know, I'm really interested in this, mm-hmm. and I'm coming here to find out what the centers are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a sort of priority of issues for students?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. I don't know if there is a priority of issues. I think they do reflect and flow from the type of opportunities that we offer to students. So locally, we do a lot of work in the area of education and around inequities in education. And we have, you know, anywhere from 50 to 100 students involved in a weekly basis working with one of our school partners. They develop an interest around that, and they look for more opportunities. So, for example, a student who takes a service learning course that may introduce them to that topic and involve them with our school partner will come back and want to continue, either through another course or an internship or just to volunteer. Through our humanitarian action work, I would say a real priority issue for students right now is the refugee crisis, the global refugee crisis. They're very involved in awareness raising around that, mm-hmm. advocacy. One of our alumni has started a scholarship for refugees, and they've been involved in fundraising for that.
Mm. The refugee situation, is it something that Connecticut or is it particularly involved with, or is it just a smaller portion here?
I don't know what it is relative to other cities that are resettling refugees, but we work very closely with the International Institute of Connecticut. And I wish I could remember the exact statistic, but I think this year alone they have resettled somewhere in the area of 50,000 refugees. Mm. Throughout the state of Connecticut.
Yeah, yeah.
That to me is a big population. And our students are working with them in different capacities.
Mm-hmm.
One
mm-hmm.
of the things that we do is we have a mentoring program that we run on our campus for refugee youth. So on a weekly basis, we have about 20 to 25 refugee youth living in the Bridgeport area that come to campus.
Mm-hmm.
They get help with academic work, but they also have opportunities for recreation and just to share about their culture and their experience integrating into U.S. society.
With regard to faith in public life, is there any, let's say, experience in, or could you see anything in regard to the evangelization topic or theme mm-hmm. that takes part when your students are involved? And obviously what they're doing ties very obviously into what the faith calls us to,
mm-hmm.
But do you see any kind of sense of that, maybe the wider sense of evangelization happening?
Well, I think, we offer faith as a lens or a tool for thinking critically about what they're experiencing, understanding the issues, but also understanding their responsibility, either as citizens or as people of faith. I think the evangelization component is probably a bit more personal and subtle. Mm. As you said, for some students, their engagement would be because it's how they see themselves living out their faith.
Mm. Well, we are really incredibly getting near the end of today's program, and I wanted to first I want to give our listeners the opportunity to learn more about the center.
Mm-hmm.
So the Center for Faith and Public Life is located at Fairfield University, mm-hmm. Fairfield, Connecticut, Jesuit University. And how would they learn more about this?
The best way is probably through our website. So that's www.fairfield.edu/CFPL.
CFPL. Yep. Now, if they end up at the university official site, they can still find you.
Exactly. Just Google or type in the search Center for Faith and Public Life.
Ah, very good. Very good. And from that, they'll also find out how to contact Melissa herself.
Yes.
Who in person will guide you and help
Absolutely.
You along. And you do accept financial help, too?
Absolutely. Financial help will enable our students to participate in all the experiences that we offer.
Very good. Well, we've been delighted to have you. I know you've done a couple of programs for us, gave us some information that I hope that our listeners, not only may be able to take and act on within themselves, but I think simply nice to know.
Mm-hmm.
It's, good to know
sure.
that situations like, especially in the university where so much research is done and action is done, we can find it happening. So mm-hmm. faith in action and to help our public life. Melissa, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Our listeners, join us again next week. God bless.